Now here's the governor of Arizona, Ernest W. McFarland.
Distinguished guests and friends, I want to express to you my appreciation for being here upon this occasion. I particularly want to express my appreciation to Bishop Gerke and Reverend Long for their participating here. And also our visiting governors from our neighboring states and our neighboring nation. Governor Obregon of Sonora and his official party. Governor Maldonado and his official party from Lower California. Your presence here is further expression of the friendship that exists between the peoples of our states and our nation. I want to likewise express my appreciation for the part of our own Boy Scouts from Florence, the Thunderbird Post from Phoenix, and the Tempe American Legion Post here today. The college, the bands from the colleges and the university. I want you to know that I greatly appreciate the trouble that you have made in coming here today. As occurred 2 years ago, we have brought to the people of this state rain. I, of course, also appreciate the presence of all of you. I noticed that a large crowd is inside the Capitol. They seem to like this Capitol better today than they do on other occasions. The people of Arizona, for the second time, have conferred upon me the greatest honor in their power to bestow. 2 years ago, I accepted this honor with a profound sense of humility. I do so again. You have made me very happy, and I want you to know that I am most grateful for the confidence you have expressed in me by electing me governor, re-electing me governor of this great state. I hope that I may read into your action the stamp of approval on the services rendered during the last 2 years. 2 years ago, I told you it was a governor's job to formulate policy and administer the law. The law that protects the weak against the strong and promotes the well-being of all citizens. I have humbly attempted to keep that pledge. God willing, I will work unceasingly toward that end in the future. Being governor of our state is more than just an honor conferred. It is a challenge that carries with it grave responsibilities. Our population in 1912, when our state was admitted into the Union, was 216,639. We have grown to the extent that we now have a population of almost five times that number. We have now passed the 1 million mark. The greatest increase has come in the last few years as more and more newcomers enter our gates to find happiness and security in our way of life. this great influx of new citizens, added to the list of those who have successfully fostered our great growth and development, makes our goals stand out more clearly. They are of greater magnitude than ever before. These objectives are, and should be, to bring prosperity and happiness to all of the people of our state, an opportunity for every able-bodied man and woman alike to obtain a job at good wages, proper care and security for the aged, blind, dependent, and handicapped, equal opportunity for education, health, and recreation. In order to obtain these objectives, our natural resources must be developed for the benefit of all of the people, not just a few. The growth of Arizona has given us many opportunities, but has also multiplied our problems. We tackled these problems 2 years ago with a determination to meet the objectives which I have just enumerated. I know, and you know, that the process of growing up is a complicated one. We must scout our possibilities along with our problems, which are many and varied. Take, for example, our schools. 2 years ago, we were challenged by a situation that was threatening the very foundation of our school system. Many impoverished school districts were hanging on by the ropes, so to speak, saddled by mounting debts and soaring taxes. It was no longer a local problem, but one that deserved and needed the assistance of state government. We acted upon the mandate of the people, and by increasing substantially every average daily attendance payments on the state and county level, brought this much needed assistance to our school districts. This assistance, I know and you know, is not the final solution to the perplexing financial problems of education, but it was the healthy start on a program which will assure all Arizonans equal opportunity for education in the years ahead. We in government will continue to explore every avenue at our command in our quest for sound educational planning. As we continue to go forward, adjustments and improvements in our school system must necessarily be made. Another example of gains made in the last 2 years was improvement in the care of aged, blind, and the dependent children. The lien law, which was a constant harassment to the welfare of recipients, was netting little return to this state, was repealed. Many of these people are pioneers who helped build our great state, but were living in constant fear that they would be buried in a pauper's grave. They wanted their little homes free of liens for security. Similar legislation also eliminated the obnoxious quarterly reports. Payments were increased for dependent children. The welfare of these people must continue to have our study. The humanitarian aspects should be part and parcel of every official act. No state which fails to recognize this concept of humanity can expect to prosper. You will also recall that the lot of our working people was improved by the passage of legislation which increased benefits for the unemployed and for those who had contracted silicosis. We must continue to study legislation designed to meet the changing conditions of our working people. The health of our citizens will always remain of paramount importance.